Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just a few miles east of us, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County and the Brandywine Valley. To learn more, visit DestinationDelco.com. I'll be right back to introduce my guest, Dennis Tice, Executive Director of the Bedford County Visitors Bureau, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Kevin Hampson of the Bedford Fall Foliage Festival, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Nelson Farrow of Hospitality Spring Farm. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
The offices of the Visitors Bureau, and you're going to learn what a Visitors Bureau is. I think up until a few years ago, I knew they were kind of out there, but I wasn't really sure what they did. I thought maybe they entertained visitors or something. But our guest, Dennis Tice, is going to tell us all about that. Many of you here in Bedford County know Dennis's name because he is a rather well-known personality. But we're going to learn a little bit more about him and also a little bit about the job he does here, the excellent job he does here running the Bedford County Visitors Bureau. So, Dennis, first of all, thanks a million for coming. You're a good sport to do this.
Thanks, Lane.
Dennis is actually an old radio veteran himself. Well, radio veteran, maybe not old.
Well, I'm old and it was many, many moons ago.
You were on this radio station, I understand. When was that?
Actually, I was in radio. I did it right after I graduated high school in 77. I was on 1310 and 100.9. Back then, they were WBFD and also what used to be it was Rax Radio.
Rax. And who owned the station?
Paul and Lois Imgrund had it. So
I
worked for Paul and Lois for 4 or 5 years, all through college. Actually, it was one of the most fun jobs I ever had. It was you could create anything in radio. If you could imagine it, you could do it. And God bless Lois and Paul. I was a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid, and they put up with a lot of stuff from me. They really did, because I came up with some fun ideas. They were wacky, and they were innovative, but you know, there were times they should have probably shut me down, and they didn't. They were good to me.
Well, that's good to hear. it sounds like they're good operators. That's terrific. So I understand that you are a warrior, an official warrior from the Everett High School.
Right.
So was Everett warlike then, or is it just a regular high school like everyone else?
Well, it was pretty normal high school, I guess. I graduated Everett High School in 1977. I was a band kid and a chorus kid, and I did a lot of acting and that kind of thing. So I wasn't exactly out on the sports teams wielding warrior-like.
So you weren't the fullback of the football team?
Not so much.
No. So you're a native of Everett, correct?
Right. I grew up around here. I was actually born. We lived in Hindman. We moved to Everett when I was a young kid and graduated there, went to IUP for music. I was a musician, taught high school down around Mercersburg for a couple of years. And at that time, I actually had an interest in flying. I wanted to fly and applied to the Air Force officer training program. Took me a couple of years of applying since I was a musician. They sort of laughed at the application.
Really? Well, musicians.
A few of them, but not too many. So I finally got in, and my eyes were bad, so I couldn't fly for the Air Force. I fly on my own. Was flying on my own just for fun, but I ended up getting into actually radio and television and also advertising and promotion in the Chicago and Central United States markets.
So you did this on behalf of the Air Force. I think you mentioned before we went on the air of the program that you were at the Armed Forces Radio and Television for a while.
Right.
Did you serve anywhere beside the Midwest?
Yes. Well, my first assignment was in California. I worked as an advertising or an administrative guy, and that was a great job, actually, but applied for the advertising and promotions where I was in Chicago and then also later on in Texas. Mm-hmm. I managed all of the people that did it throughout the central United States and all of our advertising programs for the Air Force. And then I applied for and was accepted into Armed Forces Radio and Television, and I became, I shipped down to Panama, the country right next to the canal, and I was the commander of the Air Force detachment down there that did Armed Forces Radio and TV.
We need a little tutorial. What exactly is a visitor's bureau? In fact, one of our sponsors here today is the Destination Delco, which is actually the Brandywine Valley Visitor's mm-hmm. Bureau in Delaware County. So what is a visitor's bureau? What do they do?
Well, the Visitor's Bureau is an agency designed to bring visitors into an area. And different visitors bureaus have different methods for doing that. We have ours. My mission is to have people come into Bedford County more often or to stay longer. That's my mission.
So what's that entail? What do you do? How do you do it?
Well, we first came on board here. I came on board in 1996, and we were pretty much bankrupt. We had no money, and we had to figure out a way to still accomplish our mission with practically no dollars. So what we did was we developed capabilities ourselves, things that I couldn't afford to hire anybody to do. We had to learn how to do ourselves. We began developing any literature which we could have. One of the priorities which we established was reasons for people to stay. We figured the number one source for potential visitors are people who are here right now. That's the cheapest, that's the most cost-efficient group to get. So if we can come up with additional things for them to do, maybe they'll come back, maybe they'll bring friends. So at that time, we began simply writing driving tours, walking tours, any sorts of activity, making use of existing pieces of Bedford County, putting them together for people so that they could go out. The first one was the Cover Bridge Tour, which is very, very popular. We still have that today. It's one of our most popular driving tours. So our mission there is to give them an activity, especially in off months, whenever a lot of the activities are closed down, Old Bedford Village, the fort, sometimes they aren't operational through the winter months. We had to come up with things for people to do in the month of March, right. And that's what we did.
So let me get this straight. So you're saying people here right now, you mean a visitor who's come from city far away to Bedford and is staying at one of the hotels here.
Sure.
And they walk out the front door in the morning and they need to have something to do. So
right.
That's the person you're talking about, not a resident. You're talking about someone who's visiting here already.
Right. Different. Downtown Bedford does a lot of great things. Their target, they would obviously like to have people from outside of the area, but a lot of the activities in downtown Bedford are locals that come in
right.
here. We think that's a great thing, but our mission is additional. It really is goes to try to target people on the outside.
Gotcha.
And we break it down. We have a sort of a triangle, a pyramid of the people we think that we can target. The number one potential visitor is people who are here already. They can come to Bedford County. They've already demonstrated that. They will come to Bedford County. And the cost of attracting them in the future is fairly low. Our advertising and promotion methods. We produce very high-quality literature. We have things to do brochures, which we develop, and we have a mobile-friendly website.
Right.
Future visits come from people who, A, come for another visit, or people who come to our area and say, you know, I was in Bedford County, and they have this great little GPS games that we did. It was really fun. You should go do it. Mm-hmm. The visitor's guide, which we produce, we target all the people that are here. We have 60-plus locations where we distribute that. The Bedford County Visitor's Guide is 56 pages. We made it a priority to really make it an excellent piece. It's not a book of ads. It's a book which we said, if we were coming to Bedford County, what would I want to know? What would make somebody who's reading that book not feel like they're just being blasted with advertising? But we really care about their experience. We want to help them find things to do. So we produce, this year, we just did 120,000 copies. We'll go through all of them through the course of the year. Many of them are distributed right here in Bedford County at the places where visitors get off the turnpike. Breezewood and Bedford are two major sources for us. People that exit the turnpike, either they're continuing on to their destination, maybe they just get off, they go to the bathroom, they go to a restaurant. So we provide those literature areas for them that will hopefully attract their attention.
I've seen your brochure in the lobbies of a lot of these places.
Yep.
You walk
mm-hmm.
into a fast food place like McDonald's or Wendy's or whatever, mm-hmm. and there's your book there. And I've also seen them in gas stations. It's really point of purchase, isn't it? They're really getting – I mean, when they're physically there, they can see your book.
So restaurants, now, you bet. Well, yeah. We just figure – we try to make it very, very visible, and actually those businesses are very, very kind. They see the benefit of maybe somebody picking that book up and coming back because it's good for them too.
Yeah, sure.
So that's why the businesses have been so accommodating. And the book is designed – pretty much everybody in Bedford County, I bet, has seen the Bedford County Visitor's Guide. It's a nice book. And then the supporting brochures, which we do. We create we distribute 100-plus brochures, but of which 12, 13, 14 of them are ours, specific activities which we developed for people to do.
So if I've got this book in my hand, I'm a new visitor, let's say are there things in there that will tell me where to go and how to get there?
Right. Well, there's maps in there, obviously. That's a nice thing. There are advertising in there. We have you can turn to the lodging pages, and you'll find hotels, bed and breakfast, vacation homes, restaurants, et cetera. We also produced there's 10 pages in the book that there's not a single ad in. It's just we call it the things to do section. And that section is, if we came to Bedford County, what will we want to know? They don't have to advertise. We have information in there. If you're interested in caving, if you're interested in hiking, if you're interested in history, we break it down by those interests and tell people. We give the name of the place, how to get there, what their phone number is, what it costs to go through it, and hopefully they'll be able to look through there. If they have an interest in the Civil War, they can easily find information about surrounding Civil War activities, and maybe they'll make us a hub. That's the idea.
Of course, this is a local program on a local station. So is this market your immediate market, the people that live here and have lived here all their lives? Is that a market for you also?
Well, we do – I'm going this program here. We do very little advertising directly to Bedford Countyans. That's not really my mission. So they probably won't see most of what – well, they'll see the information which we put on our on transient stops. But no, most of our advertising materials are outside of the county.
So – and what's the thinking behind that, that people wouldn't care about the local attractions here or
– Well, they do. And like I said, I bet you just about every Bedford Countyan has seen the Visitor's Guide. That is an advertising piece. Mm-hmm. But really my mission isn't to they're already here. My mission, if it is to have people come to Bedford County from outside the area, I'm best targeting it other places. Yeah. Now, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, that's a number one source for us. 12 million vehicles a year pass through us, right through Bedford County on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Numbers at the interchange, I believe Breezewood annually has over 2 million vehicles exiting a year. The Bedford Turnpike interchange has close to 1 million vehicles exiting a year. So, yeah, in that sense, we're targeting outside visitors out of those interchange areas.
Yeah, I went to actually didn't mean to go to the meeting, but I kind of ended up going to a public meeting, and it ended up in the courthouse with the commissioners. And they talked about this this new trail that they want to run through the abandoned tunnel mm-hmm. of the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Is that the kind of thing that's going to help you get people in from elsewhere?
It could. I've talked to some people that are enthusiasts and understand the full project, and I understand a little bit about it. The trail, the Turnpike Trail, which they're talking about, which goes through the tunnels,
right.
It's totally unique. Now, I remember I was speaking to one of our members, John Bittner and Jim, out at the Gateway. They're in Breezewood. And I said, really, you think people come? Oh, yeah, this is a big deal. People go see these kind of things. Well, okay. I'm a believer. What we will do, we do not, we are not the agency that builds trails. We don't build trails. However, when it comes to fruition, we're the people that can market it pretty effectively.
Well, that's what I was driving at, was the fact that this would be an attraction after it is built.
Yeah.
In fact, I heard Mr. Bittner speak at the meeting, and he said that the bike community will go wild over this because it's more than unusual. I mean, to ride a bike through a really, really, really dark tunnel.
It's unusual and it's kind of scary, I think. But yeah, I've heard you. People are going to love it. And okay, I'm in, and we'll work with that and do our best to support it. So I hope that comes to fruition. I know it's a very potentially expensive project.
Sounds like it. Our guest is Dennis Tice, the executive director of the Bedford County Visitors Bureau. And when we come back, we're going to learn some specific things he is doing at the Visitors Bureau and what they are doing to promote some of the things that are already here, as he pointed out, as Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Barry DeLara, County Commissioner of Bedford County, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. Destination Delco, from Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
Welcome back to the offices of the Bedford County Tourist Bureau. My name is Lloyd Roach, and my guest today is Dennis Tice. It is summertime in the Bedford area. I want to focus on what's going on in the fall.
Okay.
Fall, I've only lived here for a year. Fall seems to be a big deal. You have fall foliage, you have all this kind of stuff going on. So aside from the gigantic thing like fall foliage, what happens around beginnings of September and so forth?
Well, Old Bedford Village has a number of their programs. Now, a lot of their programs are through the summertime, but they also do a number of reenactments or programs that they do out there in Old Bedford Village. So
so what is that? What do they do there? Do they tell you the history of Bedford, or what is Old Bedford Village?
Well, I should get hold
for
of
those of us who have never been there, I can tell you that actually I was there. I took my grandchildren there to show them Bedford Village last summer. And by the way, Dennis, I want you to know that they may be just about the farthest visitor you've ever had, because they live in China.
Oh.
So they came from China to see Old Bedford Village, kind of, sort of.
Awesome. They found it on the internet, said, let's go.
Nah. Okay. So what do they do there? I mean, what is
Old Bedford Village is a recreated pioneer village. What happened, I remember I was a kid when they built it. They took a lot of the old buildings that were around Bedford County, and rather than them just deteriorating and fall down, they gathered them together in this one location. And it's a recreated pioneer village. A lot of those buildings out there are authentic. They are our history from Bedford County area. They disassembled them and built them back at the village.
You go there and you see a recreation of what could have been a village in Bedford County. Somewhere.
From the 1800s, you go around tour. The buildings have a lot of artifacts and what life was like in the 1800s. But they also host a number of reenactments, which have been kind of a big deal. They just had one here not too long ago, the Civil War reenactment. Gracious. Right. There were hundreds and hundreds of Civil War veterans coming, and that was huge. The cannon fire, I swear you could probably hear it in Breezewood. It was a wonderful thing that they did. Coming up this fall, I know they got the Napoleonic Grand Tactique, and that's going to be 1800s Europe. They bring in French and Britain reenactors, and they come in and they play army over there on the village.
And
you can pay to see it.
When the kids were
great.
Last summer, they had them shooting each other down in the woods. They had them marching through the woods. And
sure.
It was great. You know.
It's exciting. And then they all go and have a couple of drinks after they're done. But it's a nice thing. I mean, if you want to see history close up, and these reenactors, when they come into the village, they take this extremely seriously. What you might just consider they're just playing dress up. They research, they get it right, and their outfits that they wear, their weaponry, they'll spend thousands and thousands of dollars.
So that's one thing. Then we have other things beside Old Bedford Village that are going to happen.
Well, this coming fall, you've got the Southern Cove Power Reunion. That's a big deal. Antique tractors. And that's a big deal. I can't believe it. When I came on board to the Visitors Bureau, people said, well, covered bridges is a big thing. I thought, really? I would go see them. I'm not interested in covered bridges. However, we discovered they were, and we become very good and effective at promoting them. Well, antique tractors, old farm equipment, huge around here, and the Southern Cove Power Reunion does an excellent
job. I went to last year's.
Yeah.
I could have stayed all day. I think every tractor in Bedford County was in that parade, and I later learned it was not, in fact, every tractor. It was every extra tractor they had because they had a threshing machine that was built in 1925, and the thing operational.
I've been out to see some of their equipment. Right. They have something out in Southern Cove, folks. It looks like a train. It looks like a steam locomotive, but it's a tractor. And they fire it up, and once the steam gets boiling, they run this thing around the fields. So it's something to see if people that have grown up in the country, you think you've seen at all as far as Ford and John Deere tractors. You haven't. If you haven't been out to the Southern Cove Powering, they got a lot of pretty great stuff. Of course, the Fall Foliage Festival is huge. That's this year, October, first two weekends.
Do you know any history about that? It's fascinating. They said it's 50 years old.
Yeah, it's been around a long time.
I mean, how did that thing get so big? I mean, that's one of the biggest promotions I've ever been to anywhere.
I remember when it was starting out, I was a kid, and it used to be based around a car parade, antique car parade. I remember standing outside of my grandma's house on Richard Street, and I'd go out there with my Uncle Blair and my dad and my mom, and we'd watch all the antique cars go by. And then there was a ball. They used to have a dance.
Oh,
but
really?
Yeah. And then the booths that set up downtown was sort of in support of that.
Right.
Through the years, it got bigger and bigger. There are a number of Bedford folks that got involved with the festival, and they made it what it is today. It's the volunteers, the people around here that spent the time and the aggravation, and they've done a wonderful job, and that's how it has grown to what it is today, which hundreds of vendors. This year, we anticipate between 70 and 80,000 people coming in for the Fall Foliage Festival. And that whole thing is run by volunteers.
Where do people come from that? I mean, that's a lot of people. They can't all come from Pittsburgh.
Well, probably a lot of them are people that are originally from here, and they come back during that time of year. But most of the market will come from within a three-hour drive. That's fact. Most within a three-hour drive. But we do get people from either farther out, and people that are repeat customers. They come one year, and they then start to come every year, and they bring more and more people with them.
Any of the high rollers come in on the airport, fly their plane, anything like that?
Well, I don't know. You know,
check that out.
If they're high rollers, maybe they'll tip me. I don't know. I have to go. I need to know who these people are. There are. You'll find all walks of life here.
I mean, landing their Gulf Streams at the airport and coming to Fall Foliage. Come on.
Could very well be. I know there are. You know, there are wealthier people, especially coming into the area. Right. Especially the advent of the Omni Bedford Springs that changed. When we first came on board, obviously the Springs was closed. As a young man, I remember being around. And matter of fact, I used to play jazz out there when I was a kid. It was the only place in Bedford County where jazz was legal. I played there in the bar and didn't get...
You mean as opposed to country?
You could play country throughout Bedford County or rock and roll, but I was a jazz musician and I got to play in the bar and they actually paid me for it. It was a good thing. But with the opening of the Bedford Springs, the Omni Bedford Springs in 2007, 2008, it sort of changed in nature. We had a new target audience, which was a little bit wealthier, and it was a destination resort hotel, which was something new for us to work with.
How's that doing today? Is that a good place to promote for the Bedford County in general? I mean, it seems to be a star attraction.
It is. Yeah. We changed some of the things which we did based on what we knew was a new potential audience. Now, we don't do direct, we are not a direct advertiser for the Omni Bedford Springs. They advertise themselves, they're for-profit business. But many of the materials which we have ended up starting to develop, we said, we know we have the potential for a wealthier clientele. Let's consider that whenever we create our new promotional materials. And we did.
Well, you mentioned the Turnpike. The reason I asked this is I saw a billboard up on the Turnpike for Gravity Hill.
Yep.
So is Gravity Hill by that?
Gravity Hill actually was one of the things. Remember I told you the first years we came here, we had no money. Figuring out a way to how can we target audiences. And we did the Cover Bridge Tour. We experimented a little bit, putting a little piece out about Gravity Hill. And we were amazed. It became our number one brochure. We'll go through 40,000 of those brochures a year. It's like I tell people, they poo-poo it. They think, well, who would care about that? A lot of people. If you're a fly fisherman, here's the analogy. You put that fly on the end of your line, and you throw it in the pond, and bam, it gets hit. Gravity Hill and our Directions to Flight 93 are now our two most popular brochures. Our mission isn't really, do I care if they go to Gravity Hill? No.
Right.
But if they want to go, great. Right. My mission is to get them here into Bedford County, because if and when they come to, specifically, they're interested in that, my mission is to get them throughout the rest of the county to fill up at our gas stations, stay at our hotels, and go to our restaurants.
How is the Visitors Bureau funded? Do you get tax money, or how does it work?
There's a room tax legislation was passed in the state a decade or more ago. Mm-hmm. Counties our size are authorized up to 3% room tax. We currently have a 2% room tax. And we use that for running the office, creating all the materials which we have.
So you're speaking hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So if I stayed in one of these hotels,
you'll have a 2% tax on top of it.
I see. And
actually, Bedford County is one of the lowest in the whole state.
Most goes to this entity?
It does.
Are you an authority or part of the county? How does it work?
Well, the Bedford County Visitors Bureau is recognized by the county as the official Visitors Bureau.
Uh-huh.
And visitors bureaus, for room tax purposes, they're the ones that are to use that fund to promote their individual
right.
county.
And that's your only source of money?
Well, we have members that join us.
Right.
We have some. We try to limit our cooperative advertising. We do some of that. But if we don't make brochures just so we can get advertisers to pay to be on it, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We say, is this a brochure where it will absolutely be beneficial to somebody?
Right.
And then do we let them advertise? Sure.
Okay.
The Visitor's Guide is a prime example. We keep the prices pretty low for what it is.
Yeah.
So we supplement some of it. We also do, when I mentioned cooperative advertising, we distribute some of those funds, about 10%, 10% is what it is, to some of the nonprofit events and attractions. For instance, Fall Foliage Festival, downtown Bedford, Old Bedford Village, Fort Bedford Museum. They can apply for up to $8,000 advertising and promotion, but they have to provide a 50% match. So our view is, you know, if we can help Old Bedford Village stretch their advertising dollars, are we in favor of it? Sure.
No.
But the rule is, if you're doing a $2,000 ad, if it's not worth $1,000 to you, it's not worth $1,000 to us.
No. Okay.
So they kick in a grand,
so
we kick in a grand.
Matching grant.
Right. Matching grant, right.
We have a few minutes left, and we want to talk to you about your latest venture. You and your committee of pretty good guys, as
sure.
they're called, built the World War II monument, which has, of course, been very heavily promoted, and you recently received an award because of that achievement. Not to be outdone, now you're going to do a Korean monument.
Right.
To commemorate the Korean veterans.
Correct.
Which, of course, are the most probably unsung group of veterans in the history of the world. So what brought that on?
Well, the League of Pretty Good Guys formed back in 2010, shortly after the Visitors Bureau released a documentary film called World War II Vets, Bedford County. We ended up with, we released it at the Pitt Theater, and we also released it on DVD. And we're amazed. The movie brought in over $35,000 in profit. We didn't know what to do with that money. So we looked around. We aren't really in the business to sell movie tickets. That was almost an accident. So the board voted to take all the profit from that film and give it to a monument, which at the time we thought would cost about $50,000. It rose to over $200,000 because we made it first class. And the people of Bedford County rose up. They donated money. Everybody was enthusiastic about it. And now there's a World War II monument over in the square honoring all of our World War II veterans, because there wasn't a county right. World War II monument. We finished that project last year. It was dedicated on September 6th. The League of Pretty Good Guys, we took a few weeks off. And then we were sitting around having a couple of drinks and saying, what about the Korea guys? You know, those the Korea is called the Forgotten War because it was 5 years after World War II was over, and the nation was tired of war. But we lost over 17 plus men in the Korean War. So we decided it was something that needed to be recognized too. So we committed to create a Korean War monument. And that's now going on right now.
And like the World War II vets, I know when I heard you make the presentation back on the 6th of September.
For the World War II monument. It was all funded by the people of Bedford County. There isn't a government dollar in it. Not one.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling. So instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
This is Chuck McClellan, Site Administrator of the Pennsylvania CareerLink office in Bedford County. And you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. We kind of ripped through this program in no time at all, so I appreciate your time, and you've been a very good guest, and I want to thank you very much for doing this.
Well, thanks, Lloyd. One radio guy to another. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dennis Tice is our guest from the Bedford County Visitor Bureau, and you have been listening to Bedford County Speaks.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This
program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD. If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.